What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. On this episode, I got a chance to sit down and chat with Bryce Krawczyk. Bryce is a fucking stud. This is the third time he's been on the show, and he is just a radical human being. Before I get into the details of the episode, just want to remind you guys the Patreon page is up and running. Great way to support the show. If you don't want to do that, if you could like, share, rate, subscribe, leave a review, all that stuff helps. If you don't want to do that, you want to just listen, that's cool too. I appreciate you guys for listening, and I really enjoy doing this, especially when I get to have conversations like this with Bryce. Man, this is a great episode. We get into a bunch of stuff about being an entrepreneur in the fitness space and powerlifting and culture and all this stuff, and it's really fucking awesome conversation. I don't want to give anything else away about it. This is episode 133, goddamn, of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. Enjoy it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. On this episode, I am joined by Bryce Krawczyk. I think this is the third time.
I think just second.
No, we did the first one, and then we did a Q&A.
Oh yeah, we did.
Okay. So this is the third. I think you're one of only one other person that I've had on. Three times. So, and you were the first, to double down and be on twice. So you're like my favorite Canadian.
Oh, all right. Nice.
Or one
I'll
of,
take it. I'll take it.
Cool. So, let's just like real briefly, like, for anyone who hasn't heard the other shows, like, can you give me like kind of just a little bit of a background on like your lifting stuff, like, you know, where you're from and how long you've been powerlifting and shit.
Yeah, I can do like kind of a quick bio. So I'm a Canadian powerlifter. I compete in the CPU IPF affiliate. I've competed single ply and raw, and been competing now for this is my 10 year anniversary, man. This is my decade of Sick. Competing in the sport. Been coaching for 6 or 7 of those years, and have been making like educational content and doing YouTube and Instagram and all that kind of stuff for 4 or 5 years now with Calgary Barbell. I've been, if you want some, like, you know, to brag a little bit,
dude, talk about the WRs. Let's go.
So I've got currently 2 different world records, in 2 different weight classes, 1 raw and 1 equipped. I've won nationals, I think, 6 or 7 times now. I've hit the podium in worlds a few times and hoping to do that again right away here. Best numbers.
What are the world records?
Okay. So I think the 105 equipped world record is 368 kilos. I should know these numbers, man.
Yeah, you definitely should.
Typing openpowerlifting.org into my browser right now.
Literally just doing that, but then I realized that I can't spell your fucking last name.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair, man. All right, 2019. Here we go. 388 kilos is my 105 equipped world record, so 855 pounds. And then my most recent raw world record was 849 raw in the 120 kilo category, the 264 weight class.
Literally looked like a misload. Looked like they fucking loaded 600 pounds. Like, you just fucking ripped that thing. It was a joke. There's definitely like more in the tank there. So I think people should definitely head to your Instagram and check that out, because he fucking smoked it. It was sick. What are your best, like numbers, totals, whatever, in, raw and equipment?
So my best numbers raw are you viewers more kilo folks or pound folks? Do you know, should I just say both or what?
Well, it's a good mixture, because now we're kind of pushing towards kilos, but even when we do kilos, it's like, okay, cool. But then also, what is that in pound? Like, I know it sounds good, but
All right. So raw, my best numbers are 315 squat, 195 bench, and 385.5 deadlift, which is 694 squat, 429 bench, and 849 deadlift. My best single ply is 400, 262 and a half, 400. So 880 squat, 578 bench, and 880 deadlift. And I'm looking forward to getting back into equipment here pretty quick. We'll kind of go through, I imagine, some stuff about my, I got a couple of meets coming up in the next few months. In the next month, actually, I have two meets coming up, but I'm looking to get back into single ply in the fall and maybe go do Commonwealth in New Zealand. So
calling
to me again, man.
You've done kind of you've run the gamut. I know we've talked about it a bunch on the show before, but I always think that shit is fucking cool. Watching people who can kind of be a jack of all trades, where it's
except the bench.
You can.
You can only trade I'm not jacking.
welcome. Yeah, welcome to my fucking life. It's really cool to watch too. Because how old are you?
Shit, man, I'll be 35 this year.
Okay, yeah, so we're close to the same age. You get a little bit of salt on the hull. You're a little beat down, and it's true, man.
No, absolutely, I'm laughing because I couldn't agree more.
It's just you get a little creaky and a little bit of, the little bumps and bruises. But it's sick to watch guys like yourself and, I know Seth is doing almost the inverse of that, where he's going raw after being in Multiply for so long, all this stuff. I really like that, watching people. I used to hate it when I was drinking the Kool-Aid at Westside and if you're not Multiply, you're a pussy and whatever. you can't ride two, horses with one ass, which I still kind of feel is true. But with guys like yourself, I'm making a huge assumption. Tell me if I'm wrong here, but it's not like you finish a fucking gear prep, do a meet, and then the next week come in and take a fucking balls out raw max on something you have to build yourself back up to that to be able to handle those loads. But I think that's where people fuck up, because I think you can kind of ride two horses with one ass if you're smart about it.
And I think the big thing, just looking at how I've trained, when I'm training single ply, my accessory movement is a raw squat. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily get that far away from training my raw lift, even when I'm in my single ply equipment.
Okay.
I kind of don't really throw too much of that away. And we'll see how it goes now, because my training's changed and evolved a lot over the last year and a half, a lot. I used to do a lot more work. I used to hit a lot more frequency, a lot more volume, that kind of stuff. And I found after a while, I just wasn't able to hold up against it anymore. And that's probably the salt on the hull, I think you called it. But
Well, it's I kind of go back and forth on that stuff with what got me to where I am, right? Mm-hmm. I look at my lifters, and I don't know if you experience this too, but it's you've got a bunch of guys and girls who want to push. And you're no, you can't just go balls to the wall all the time. It's well, that's what you did. And it's but you're not me. And it wasn't the smartest thing. But sometimes I look back and I'm maybe training like a maniac in an unsustainable way potentially was the reason why I was able to make a few of the big jumps that I made. But then you look back on it, you're like, well, would my fucking shoulders and my, low back be as fucked up as it is now if I didn't do that? It's maybe not, but I probably wouldn't be squatting the weights that I'm squatting. So it's kind of hard to balance that. I'm not really sure which way is right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there is a right. I think it's a kind of a combination of both attempts. And I don't mean necessarily a middle ground. I mean, you probably need both. You know what I mean? Okay. You probably need to go through periods of time where you train like an animal and go apeshit and blow it up. And then you probably need to go through periods of time where you're damn, I can't believe I'm getting by with this little amount of work. and it's probably going to change over time, because I'm getting to the point now. So just to give some context, I compete in just over a week, 7 or 8 days. I'll be competing at nationals.
Sick.
And about 3.5 weeks after that, I'll be competing in South Africa at the IPF World Championships.
Oh, that's so cool, man. That's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah, I'm stoked. So at this point, like, I've been kind of doing the, I can't believe it's not butter. Like, I can't believe I'm doing such little training work right now and things seem to be going well. I've been doing that for probably a year. And right now I'm like so hungry. I'm so hungry, man. I want to come in here 4 or 5 days a week. I want to SBD like every goddamn day. And I just want to like blow it out and empty the tank because, you know, I've never been nominated this high at Worlds and I've never been this close to like thinking that, you know, the top of the podium might be something that's achievable if I have my best day. So it's like, well, shit, how am I going to like not just like, I don't even know, just like open the floodgates and go crazy in training for this next little while. Like, it's such a short little stint.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to feel that. So I think, yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of, one thing works for a while and then it stops working. You try something else. And that's not always, you know, bouncing back and forth from the two extremes, but certainly seems like there's a benefit to just novel stimulus. You know what I mean? Just doing something differently, changing your training approach. And sometimes it's not because the new approach is better. It's just because it's novel. It's different, you know?
Literally. Yeah. Like literally just the fact that it's different. I definitely like, it's cool too. Cause when you have those phases of like doing less, like when you add something back in, you almost get like the newbie gains again. Like you, it's like, oh, like I've been doing, you know, on our side of things with the conjugate stuff, it's like I've been doing a main movement and three accessories and I've kind of been like, you know, mellow with it, nothing crazy. And then it's like you add one hard accessory to what you're doing and all of a sudden you get a great stimulus from it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like you said, like, it's not right or wrong. It's just like, oh, something fucking different is happening. Like, I started doing some, it's funny you said you used the raw squat as an accessory. Like I started doing some more, not like I say raw squatting, like I'm doing anything impressive, but like, not really. Like I just do like, you know, some elevated heel, cambered bar squats, like no box, raw and like very deep, but I'll only use like a plate and I'll do sets of 15 or whatever. Right. And that's after work in my briefs. And that doesn't sound like a lot of work, but for me, because it's so different, I haven't done that shit in so long. I feel like my squat's gotten very strong because of that. I feel like I'm stronger in like different angles, which helps carry over to like the very specific multiply looking squat. Do you use, so let me ask you this, do you use equipment? So when you're training for a raw meet, do you ever use equipment to like mitigate some of the bumps and bruises you get, or do you, or an overload or anything like that? Or is it only you use raw stuff for when you're getting ready for an equip meet?
So traditionally it's been more the latter, where it's like my raw stuff is kind of an accessory, what I'm getting ready for equip meets. But I actually had a really interesting talk with my coach the other day about, you know, just some of the potential of maybe that overload stimulus and that like kind of element of keeping yourself together a little bit and those kinds of things contributing to the raw lifting. And, you know, we kind of had this talk, I don't know, just a few weeks ago now. So not enough time to like implement it and see how it goes. But I think that might be something that we actually try in the future. And no, sure. Yeah, we'll see how prep for Commonwealths goes. But like, maybe that's one of those like, oh, I'll just compete raw and equipped if there's time for it, depending on how the week's laid out. But like, if my raw is going really well and I can go there and put together a good raw day as well as a good single ply day, I don't know. I haven't done anything I regretted that much in, when was the last time I did that? Like 2017, 2016.
Yeah. But that's a long, brutal week if you're doing both things.
Yeah.
Full, you know what I mean? It's like whatever, you know, 18 lifts and, to a full max is pretty intense. I don't know how you guys do that. I know I talked to Seth a little bit about how like the frequency and stuff like seems to almost like lubricate your joints if you're always ready to be moving around. But like, man, after I fucking compete, the last thing I want to do is put a barbell on my back. Like that is literally, I've had that conversation. I remember like I think it was my second meet at Westside. I had like a pretty rough go and we're driving home and I look at this dude and I'm like, what would someone have to pay you right now, like day after a meet, to go in and like put your equipment on and take a big squat. And we like couldn't come up with a number. we're like, fuck this. Like, I there is no like financial, like, it's just like, I don't hate myself enough to do that. So that's insane. Yeah, that's that you're fair. Thinking about doing.
I don't know. I've done it before. I don't know if at a meet like that, it would line up where the equipped sure. would be like even 24 hours away from the raw. It might be one of those things where you'd have like raw and equipped just in the same flight. So if that's the case, obviously I can't do it, but
sure.
Yeah. In Quebec in 2017, I did back to back days. So I did my equip meet day one, my raw meet the day after. And yeah,
holy fuck.
I'm ready to be hurt again. You know, I'm ready to get hurt again.
Is your, I know like you're a pretty, I mean, from in my world, you're like a kind of a narrow squatter. I know like probably mm-hmm. in your world, you're not considered a terribly narrow squatter, but like is the form that much different in your single ply stuff as your raw stuff? Cause it's, I know you carry the bar very low or pretty low and do they look similar?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like, that's one of the things that I kind of quickly realized when I started getting into equipment is like the more I could make my equipped lifts look and feel like my raw lifts, the stronger I was. Cause obviously I had been competing raw for, I don't know, 6 years or whatever, at least 5 years by the time I got into equipment. So it was like, well, shit, if I can just use what I've got and make this suit like work for me instead of trying to change what I've got around to try to work the suit, like it just works way better. So for me, it was a matter of like trying to make the suit kind of conform to my usual groove and my usual patterns. So yeah, it's pretty much same stance, same bar position, you know, maybe a little bit slower because I use a lot less stretch reflex in the suit than I do raw, which again is one of those things that single ply people will be like, you know, I've been told so many times throughout my career, like you got to descend faster if you want to get more out of the suit. And it's like, I'm doing okay. Like,
yeah, I did not feel that way. I felt if I was going to take, I'd probably be in your, school of thought with that. Like I definitely didn't want to move towards the bottom of the squat in a fast way in single ply. Cause I felt, for me, it's probably different than for you, but I felt like I was wearing nothing mm-hmm. because that compared to like a canvas is, it's so thin that I was like, I'm going to take this extra slow. I just remember like picking up the bar, you know, when I did that one meet in single ply, like I am in danger. You know what I mean? Like there's no- like
don't think
like
that, man.
You know, like I've been fucking squatting, you know, whatever 1035 for like five fucking years, but picking it up in single ply, like I stood up with it out of the hooks and I was like, oh, this might cut me directly in half. Like I might get fucking murdered right now. So I go really slow with mine, but I know that some people really like almost dive bomb with that. But you do that more with your raw stuff, you're saying?
Not even, I just like, I have kind of a point in my raw squat where it's like, okay, like we're going to kind of let loose a little bit and try to catch a bit of a bounce out of the hole. But that's even probably still lower than most people would consider a dive bomb. So I'm controlled for more of the range of motion than a lot. But yeah, like early on in my career, I heard that so many times, like you got to go fast to get the pop out of the single ply. You got to go fast to get the pop out of the single ply. And the one time I tried that, there's a famous video of me doing essentially a lunge with like 350 or like 770 or so on my back. And Dylan's my only back spotter. And at one point he like made a video and photoshopped Randy Ortiz over it, like giving me the whatever wrestling move famous for. And it was just
from
like
out of nowhere,
slithering like a snake. It was a mess, man, like a disaster. And then I was like, okay, well, that didn't work. So I loaded up like 355, put another 5 kilos on, squatted it how I normally squat it, and it was fine. But
sure,
yeah, that quick descent, it just like threw me forward, and I ended up taking a step, and then it was a whole. Yeah, it was a mess.
Shit, I gotta find this fucking glorious video. There's something about like, as long as everyone's okay, there's something about
everyone
like,
was fine. Yeah, was
equipped amazingly. Fails that are hilarious to me because like I've had some before. Like we've had a few like with pretty big weights when I was still training in Ohio. That's like, holy fuck! Like how did someone not die during this? And it's hilarious afterwards. So those videos are always key. So yeah, so sort of switching gears, you made a headquarters for your business and content creation. And we were kind of going through sort of similar things, you know, when we were buying the gym out here and and all that, you were doing your thing. Like, talk about it, dude. Like, what do you have going on? Like, use this platform to like brag and fucking boast about, you know, or maybe some of the stuff that was a shit show getting it going. Like, what do you got going on up there?
Yeah. So it was like, I don't know, the lockdown really, like COVID and lockdowns and all that kind of stuff, like really put a pretty grinding halt on a lot of what we do in terms of content creation, because the gyms were closed again, open again, closed again, open again. And then when we'd go in, when they were open, we were like, shit, like, are we in the way? Like, are we restricting other people from being able to actually use the gym by filming this video? Right. You know, sure. Messing with the lights, trying to get the music to where, you know, turn down so that we could get good audio and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we don't want to fucking be those guys. You know what I mean? We don't want to go into a gym where people are like, oh, it's been closed for a month. It's just open. I can only go in for like an hour or whatever. And these guys are here taking up half the gym, like filming shit. And we were like, okay, yeah. We're just not going to do that. We'd like film some videos in Dylan's basement or whatever. But it got to the point where we were like, damn, like we could maybe just look at getting like our own little warehouse if we could find a place that was, I don't know, I think this place like 1900 square feet or so.
Okay.
But like get a bay where we can do our apparel. We can ship it from there, pack it. We can film all of our stuff. We can have like a little training center. We can have like our office set up in the back and our computer equipment for filming and editing and all of our lights and shit, so that Dylan doesn't have to. Dylan drives a, what year is it, Dylan? He can't hear me. He's got noise canceling headphones on. He drives like a 1996 Dodge Caravan. and he just like, he'd load it up with like cases and cases of lights and camera equipment, all this shit, haul it to the gym, and we'd unload it, and we'd have to take, you know, 45 minutes to set it up and blah, blah, blah. So it's another good thing about having the space here is we have all that stuff. We just wheel it out. But yeah, it got to the point where we were like, shit, well, can we just like make our own place to do this, so we're not stepping on people's toes and we're, you know, in control of everything in terms of the lights and whatever else to have better production and to have more of like a creative space. So we found a place in like September, and we were supposed to sign. We're supposed to get the keys October 4th. And the contractors, so the landlords agreed to build it out for us to the drawings that we made. And a lot of this stuff, unfortunately, here's a lesson for anybody getting, you know, doing something like this, is don't settle on a handshake deal, right? No, have drawings of every single little detail signed off on from both parties, like height of windows, you know, spec for the toilet seat, you know, what sink, what countertop, all that kind of shit. Like, do not, you know, let anything go to like, oh yeah, just whatever works for you. No, fuck that. Don't do that with contractors and landlords.
No, because so, they're going to take the shortest. They're going to take the path of least resistance.
Oh yeah, and sometimes
they don't have to deal with it. Yeah.
Sometimes like these guys that were in here were just clowns, man. So that we were, like I said, we were supposed to get our keys October 4th. We got our keys December 15th. And then it was 2 months, because the other weird thing was that the building was sold as we were doing all that, as they were doing all the landlord work. So the building was sold. The new landlords, after another 2 months. So this is February now. We're supposed to get our keys in October, February. The new landlords fire the contractors, bring in their own contractors to fucking redo everything, because it didn't pass building inspection. The shower was like just, man, it was such a disaster. Just everything was done so, so poorly. The guys came in and gutted it. And I think about mid-March, we were finally able to kind of like get rolling. But that's like, what, 5 months or so of trying to like pick back up and put the pieces together after being, you know, kind of hamstrung for like, you know, 2 years with the lockdowns and stuff, to coming in and then just like half-assing it through working in a construction site for 5 months. And yeah, it's like we were trying to sprint, but somebody was holding our collar. And I feel like in the last couple months, like the sort of figurative collar holder let go, and we just took off like the fucking Roadrunner. But I don't know that we had enough of an idea of where we were going or like how to pace ourselves. So it's been a little bit of a learning experience trying to figure out like what balance is in terms of like a work-life balance, which I'm sure you get as an athlete and a gym owner, is like doesn't exist really.
No. You're just on all the time. It's just work. It's
and just like trying to find a way to like live that doesn't burn you out when you're trying to do all these things. And well, I don't know that you're ever going to be successful. It's just like being able to catch when you can feel it coming on and, you know, cut a thing or two for long enough that you can, you know, not feel like you're drowning anymore.
Well, yeah, it's like, there's no way, like if you want the thing, like all those cliche things, like if you want the thing that other people don't have, you got to do stuff that other people aren't doing and blah, 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 and all this. And that's all true. But there is like an aspect when you're like, you know, you have your stuff online, you have your in-person stuff, you got your content creation, your all this stuff. And then on top of that, you have like your relationships, like your family life, your home life. And then on top of that, it's like, yeah, man, like I fucking love lifting weights. I love training. I love training people. I love, you know, being around, blah, blah, blah. But like, I have other things. I also like to golf and make music and you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it is difficult. And then like stuff like that, where it's kind of out of your hands. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, and we kind of experienced some of that stuff out here. And, you know, with like between buying the gym and buying our house. And then the other thing that really hit, interesting, and Corey Gregory actually like keyed me in on this before we started making these bigger moves, was like, no one, well, I don't want to say no one, but most people in like financial, like the financial industry or any sort of like big industry, it takes gym stuff seriously.
Yeah.
Like they think you're a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Because like it is a lot of handshake deals, right? It's like, oh, can I get the ledger for the gym? And it's like, oh, well, you know, like this guy doesn't pay, this guy pays half price because twice a month he takes the trash out or this or that. And then, you know, you're trying to talk to a bank about all this stuff and we kind of look goofy. And then even if you have everything lined up, they're just not going to take you as seriously, especially like, and this could be me being like a sensitive little pussy about it, but, like a heavily tattooed sort of alternative looking person like yourself or myself, like they don't take you fucking serious. And it's like, yo, motherfucker, like I built my whole business from my spare bedroom in my, you know what I mean? Like, I am a serious dude here. And I think that, like it's time to pass that torch, right? Like, it's like you have people who might be running these, like, you know, the contractors or whatever, and they're, you know, late 40s or early 50s. And it's like, they think you're a goofball because you say like, oh, some of the money I make is from YouTube. They're like, YouTube?
Oh,
it's like,
yeah, man.
Yeah, you have no fucking idea how much work goes into that.
That's been like going through zoning and trying to like deal with insurance. Well, that was like the biggest thing. We thought from talking to other people who had set up gyms, they're like, dude, zoning sucks. Getting zoning approval really sucks. And it's like, well, we don't charge anybody for a gym membership. We have like a small community of maybe 10 or 15 people that come in and train here intermittently. But for the most part, like we're a film studio and like the gym is our set essentially. So trying to explain that to somebody at the city or somebody at an insurance agency. So like, ironically, we must have stumbled across some kind of like guardian angel or some shit with the city. Cause they were like, oh yeah, sure. Just apply for this and I'll forward this over there. And then blah, blah, blah. And it was just like done. But trying to get insurance, like, man, people were like, yeah, we're going to, well, that's a high risk business. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Well, I don't, they just like, they didn't understand what we do. They're like, oh, your business is online. Well, then you're open to like international lawsuits and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what?
Oh my God.
Just boggled my mind, man.
Yeah.
Because nobody understood. They're like, well, I don't really understand what you do. So it's probably very risky. Like, okay, yeah, no, what? You're just a boomer.
That's exactly it. And it's very like it's kind of abstract too. Cause it's like, you know, me and Val were talking about it actually last night about like, you know, what do I want for trigger warning? Like, what's the fucking goal? Like, what's the big thing? And it's like such an abstract thing. And now that you guys are like really doing like a good, you know, a good amount of apparel and all that stuff, now you have multiple sort of avenues as well. It's like you've got your coaching, you have your physical space, you have your content creation, and you have your apparel. And it's like, for a hustler and sort of an entrepreneur, like to me, all I hear is like, sick, you have four different revenue streams. Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. But to someone who doesn't know, who's works a 9-to-5 their whole life and like has no idea, it's a very confusing thing for them to understand. It's like, wait, you don't have like one thing? It's like, no, I actually have like 10 fucking things that, you know, that like all kind of feed each other. Cause it's like the apparel is fed by the content. The content's only because you're good at coaching. You only got good at coaching because of the, you know, the training. And it's like all intertwined, but probably seems very separate to somebody sitting behind a fucking desk.
Yeah. And I think like what you're talking about there and the, just like the different sort of levels and elements to trying to build a business in this industry, it, that speaks to why there's no fucking balance. Because like you're trying to, I mean, Dylan was in here yesterday between sets of like training, sending emails to the people who are printing our apparel. And then, you know, on the way home from work, we got to stop by the post office to like get some stuff shipped. And we have to like, you know, we're trying to figure out how to do promo and giveaways for our like big app anniversary. At the same time as we're trying to like film more content, at the same time as we're trying to work on like bigger content and shorter content, because, you know, Instagram is now promoting these like reels because they're trying to compete with TikTok. So, you know, conventional posts aren't getting the same kind of traction. And then you run into like, okay, well, how much do you want to like try to bite on these trends to get engagement versus, you know, where in that sort of spectrum do you start to like lose yourself and your own shit and what you're trying to say and the difference that you're trying to make? And how does that fit into like, well, if you, you know, tree falls in the forest, kind of like if you make this great shit and nobody gives a fuck, then, you know, are you helping anybody? Or can you come up with ways to like, you know, package your stuff in these trends to get it to, it's a whole other thing. But then, there's 15 different avenues you're trying to grow and expand on.
That's very difficult while trying to stay genuine and like authentic.
Yeah.
Like you said, like I like in the past I've been like resistant to, cause it's like, you know, fucking skater, like punk rock, hardcore kid. Like I'm like, oh, like my buddy Mike has the best saying. He's like, if somebody tells me to have a good day, I'm the type of dude that'll have a bad day on purpose. And it's like, you know what I mean? And so like when, you know, real, like I remember when stories were like a thing, like they first started like on Instagram and I was like, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not doing this trendy bullshit. Like I just want to put out shit that's going to make people lift weights better and like understand what the sport's about. And it's like, you kind of, I don't want to say you're like a slave to it, but there is a point where it's like, okay, for the most people, for me to have the biggest impact and me to have the biggest footprint, I do have to kind of, I hate saying it, but it's like, you kind of have to like succumb to those trends or whatever's hot there. And that makes it difficult too, because I'm so glad we're getting into this shit because you do get it. And I think it's important people to hear it, but it's like, you're talking about like, okay, we're trying to get t-shirts lined up or apparel lined up in between sets. And then we've got to mail stuff. We're trying to create content and all this stuff. It's like, you have to be 2 or 3 months ahead of yourself in preparation, but you also have to be ready to fucking pivot like immediately on something. And that's like the really, I guess it's kind of exciting, but it can be incredibly stressful where it's like, okay, like I have a fucking note on my phone that's got 50 fucking ideas on it for future, you know, like future content or future apparel or future whatever. And you're trying to like line that shit up, but it's like, okay, well, I'm lining stuff up for 3 months from now. I also have to be posting stuff now. Yeah. And you know what I mean? It's like, okay, like what, how can I, and it seems weird too, because the other thing in our industry, which is fucking super lame, but it's just the truth, there is a certain amount of resistance to just what you or I do from our own peers, because it's cheesy or it's whatever, you know, and you have even like big name companies in the States. It's like, I'm not even going to fucking say their names, but you have big name companies who have been around forever in the powerlifting community who will like make fun of online trainers and make fun of this stuff and whatever. Mm-hmm. So there is that like other counterculture where it's very difficult to find the balance of like, hey man, like I am a legitimate lifter. I'm not some fucking nerd that's never lifted weights, but I'm also trying to put out content for people that it can be easily accessible and be good because it's so watered down sometimes. So it is kind of difficult to find that balance and all the while trying to make it so that my wife doesn't kill me. So I actually have time to fucking do other things.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, that's a hard part too. And it's like, it's trying to make time for yourself even, you know what I mean? Like trying to make time to just like close your eyes and not look at your phone and realize like, oh shit, I got a couple messages from clients. I should check these. And then the next thing you know, you're fucking programming again Sunday night at like 10 PM or whatever. It's just like,
I'm so happy, dude. I'm happy that like, I'm like, I feel for you, but I'm also happy that someone else experiences that. It's like,
yeah,
we went out to, I brought Val out to Vegas. I don't know. It was like a couple months ago. Kind of like a surprise thing. She had never been out there before. And it's like, you know, we go look around, do the thing. We come back to the apartment, to the hotel room. And it's like, all right, I need like an hour to like catch up on shit real quick. Yeah. And there I am in Vegas on my computer, like, you know, typing away, like trying to like, you know, like filming videos before we leave. So I have content to post while we're out there and so on and so forth. And no, I think it's important for people to hear this shit because at the end of the day, it like, there's no, obviously money is great. I want to make money. Whatever. I have no problem saying that. Like, I want to make a bunch of money. Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone should want that. But the amount of work that goes into this sort of stuff, the stuff you're doing, the stuff I'm doing, like you do have to genuinely enjoy a lot of it or there's no fucking way you'd be able to do it.
Yeah. And I think that like kind of ties back into the whole thing is like if you – And I think we've been guilty of it a few times too, is like we get off track and we start thinking too much about like what people might want as opposed to like what we want to do. And then again, like, there's a balance that kind of needs to be struck there in terms of like, you know, people really want Form Check Friday. People really want us to like make a video critiquing these lifts. And, you know, there are people who have sent in, submitted. But at the same time, like sometimes that is just the most soul draining thing in the entire world. And like, you know, it's tough trying to find like, okay, which things do I like want to talk about? Which things do I like get stoked to talk about versus what things are like necessary and best for like the community that we're trying to build or whatever. Sure, so trying to strike a balance there between things that kind of like fill and empty the cup. Because yeah, like you got to love it, but at the same time, like it's work. You're going to have to do work. Yeah. And sometimes you don't want to fucking do work. So
it's exhausting emotionally too. I think like, you know, not to get too much into the woo woo, but like, you know, it's a lot because they, like you take on, I mean, like, I don't know how you work your relationship with your clients and stuff, but there is a certain amount of like you have to give a certain amount of energy from yourself to them, like an emotional support. And these people are looking to you to kind of guide them in something they're very passionate about. So it can be fucking exhausting, dude. Like even, you know, like I love the podcast. I love making the podcast. It's so fun. I've created a bunch of relationships through it, like you being one of them, like, and it's really fun for me. But like, sometimes it's like, why am I doing this again? Like, you know what I mean? Like for what? Because especially, you know, like with this show, like I don't make any money off of this. Like, this is just something I do to try to like create something positive for the community. And that was actually something I thought of it when I was driving home today that I wanted to ask you. Like, you're a positive guy. You're very real. Like, you're very authentic. You're a positive person. Do you ever like struggle with, you know, like, keeping that, being genuine, but also like not allowing the negativity to seep into your content? Because there is some times that I feel like, you know, I've had like rage out moments where like, fuck this, like I'm gonna make the shit post that like calls out every fucking bat, what, you know, all this. And like, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to do that. Like, I can't do that. But is that something that you go through at times where you have to be like, okay, like the bigger picture is more important than my fucking little feelings that I'm having right now?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I think like even super relevant to like the last number of weeks for me, or the last like 6 months, like training has been pretty meh, like pretty mid for a while. And, you know, like still feeling like I was well on track to kind of do what I wanted to do. And my shoulder started kind of bugging out 2 or 3 weeks ago. And like when my training doesn't go well, it seeps into the rest of my life. And I'm just like kind of a shitty person to be around. I'm a shitty person to work with. And the last thing I want to do is like put on my like, all right, guys, welcome back to Form Check Friday. Like you know, my mask, you know what I mean? That like clown paint, that performance kind of outward, you know, presenting self. And like I talked a little bit about it. We filmed a training log yesterday. And I think a lot of the times right before meets, I tend to like kind of have these like moments or these epiphanies or whatever. And I just like, yeah, man, I like haven't been wanting to make content because I haven't been like feeling like, yo, look at me. This is how you should do shit. Like, I don't feel like somebody, like I want to be somebody's role model, or like I want somebody to look at, you know, what I'm going through and doing and be like, oh yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. Like, cause I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing. I didn't feel like I was doing a good job of things. And yeah, man, so my shoulder started bugging out, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. And I've had multiple sessions where I'm like slamming the bar back into the rack a couple of times, like flipping my belt across the gym, just like throwing shit around, swearing, like losing my cool. And
been there.
Yeah, it just like it makes me not want to do the other stuff. So then everything else gets harder, which like makes you more stressed about training. And it's kind of like, so it's nice to have like your passion be your work and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, like when something doesn't go wrong, you were talking about it like being this kind of positive feedback that feeds back into itself. It's like that goes the other direction too. Something goes shitty, it feeds back all over and it's this shitty all over.
That's like, dude, that's like, I experienced a very similar thing. We first fucking moved out here. It's like we were living an hour away from the gym. We had a full month of like having to go to the gym to try to, you know, create relationships there, but we didn't own it yet. So we weren't bringing in anything financially.
Right.
So we're driving an hour each way, getting there at fucking 8, leaving at 7. Yeah. You know, like, and, you know, I got down to like at one time I was 244 pounds at night. And I'm like, I haven't weighed this light in like 4 years.
That's rough.
I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And all the stress of the, and it does make it hard to like create good content because then my training started taking a hit from it too. You know, like pop a pec here and there. Then all of a sudden you're fucking, I throw my back out a little bit. And then it's just like, what is going on right now? You know, and I finally looked at Val at one point and I was like, all right, like if I can't train to the capacity that I want to be training at and that I'm, you know, capable of, like then none of this is really worth it to me. Like I need to be able to do that because that's what got me here in the first place. Yeah. And I had a conversation with Dave Hoff about it. And, you know, we got on the phone and chatted a little bit. And he's just like, dude, like, just fall back into what has made you successful.
Yeah.
Just keep swinging, keep showing up. Don't expect that you're going to be having all-time PRs in the gym that you were having when you were fucking 4 weeks out from the WPO. That ain't going to fucking happen right now. Mm-hmm. Just like accept training for what it is. And just keep, you know, pressing forward. And that was very helpful. But it is, you said flipping the belt and throwing it across. I did that a couple times for sure. Like, my fucking pec, what the fuck? Like, you know, like, you know, having a partial pec tear with, you know, 100 pounds less than I floor pressed before. And I'm like, what is fucking happening right now? Yeah. But, you know, like, because of that, I think that it's good to be sort of transparent about this stuff too, so that people can hear it and understand that it's like, this is when a lot of people quit. This is when a lot of people stop pursuing their goals or whatever. And it's like the reason that you have been successful, and I would say some of why I've been successful, is because in those hard times, I might be, you know, little poopy pants about it, but I don't, you know what I mean? But I don't stop moving forward. And I think it's like, above all, it's a good situation to be like a good role model for maybe like people who are newer to lifting or whatever else, because the shit's going to get fucking hard at some point. It's not all going to be easy.
Yeah. And I think like the kind of feeling that I had when this first started happening was like my attitude towards powerlifting as a whole got really shitty for a minute there. And I was like, fuck this sport. It just takes and takes and takes. And I've given a decade of my life to this shit, and it just like is completely unforgiving, and it takes and takes and takes, and you give and give and give. And it's like, meh, fuck you. You know what I mean? And it took me a bit to get out of that headspace and be like, yeah, but like, this is the shit that you talk about when you're on the other side and you're like, damn, I'm glad that I was able to like keep going through that shit, because now this tastes so much sweeter. You know, when you have that feeling of having like overcome or at least fucking survived that shit and come out the other end of it, and you can look back and be like, oh man, that was low, but you know, how you gonna get up if you ain't never been down, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's true, man.
I could just sit here and quote "Every Time I Die" all day, but another lyric I really like was that there's nowhere to go but up from a Valair canyon in hell, right?
Sick. So, dude, I love that. That's badass. Yeah.
But like, that's the kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah, it's tough, man. I had a dude, Coker at Westside, said to me one time, I bombed out of a meet, and he was just like, bro, the longer you do this shit, the more that's going to fucking happen. And he was like, and you're going to have times in your career where like, you're going to have bad months, bad years of training, but that's kind of like what separates, you know, the people who do this, like do it for 10 years. I'm on year 8 right now. And it's like, the separator is the no quit. And I think it's true with entrepreneurial shit and doing what we do online and doing what we do, you know, with our spaces. I think, you know, that's something that another thing Corey Gregory had said to me in the past. He's just like, dude, listen, like, you're good. I had made like a couple of moves that like worked real well with like apparel, like stuff that I kind of hung my nuts out a little bit, and it ended up working out. Nice. And he was like, that's great, but just know, like, he's like, that's awesome, but just know you're going to make the wrong decision and you're going to get fucked at some point. Like, it's just, it's going to happen. You're going to make the wrong call. You're going to lose money. You're going to, you know, like whatever. Yeah, And it's the same thing. It's like, you just, okay, I fucked that up. All right. That's fine. Anyway, moving forward. And I think having that, like, and you probably had this too, when the contractors were kind of jerking you around or whatever they're doing, it's like, no one, you get to a point where it's like, no one can save you except for yourself when you're in these positions. Like when we were flooring the gym and, you know, it's down a set of stairs, a full set of stairs into our gym. And we've got to get 34 stall mats down there because
are such pigs, man.
They're the worst. They're the worst. So, you know, it took us 3.5 hours just to get them downstairs. Oh, and we had to rip the carpet up after and then bring the carpet up. It's like, all of a sudden I start looking around. It's like, been here since 8 a.m. It's 10:25 p.m. And all the kids that helped and most of the people have left. We got a handful of people left. And I'm just looking around. It's like, well, no one can fucking save you, so you better just fucking get on your horse, dude. Like, just start fucking working. But that, like you said, it makes the end result. Like now when I see your space with like big Calgary barbell on the wall and like your fucking videos look sick and like the production level is so high, like from the outside looking in, it looks great. But I'm sure for you, it's like very validating. Like, yeah, motherfucker, like we got through that bullshit of the 5 years of having this dude jerk us around by our dick here and not get everything done they were supposed to. But now it's like, fuck yeah, you're sitting there now recording a podcast with the dogs on the couch and you're going to train later, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
that must be very validating for you.
It is. Yeah. It feels like we're kind of like we're I don't know. We're coming to like the crest of the uphill part.
Sick.
Although I think you often feel like that in like business and training, whatever, you feel like that, you're like, oh shit, look, that's the top. And then you come across it and you're like, oh nice. It goes down for a little bit, but then you look a little further ahead and you're like, oh shit, that one's big. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's like the what's next thing. It's like, okay, because it will never, I think people look at like maybe what you do and what I know people have said it to me where they think it's like passive income. And it's like, no. The moment it becomes passive income is the moment everyone stops giving a fuck about what you're doing. Because the reason people follow you and listen to you because they believe in you. Like obviously you put out good products with everything you do, but they're buying you. And so if you become like a passive, lazy person, it's fucking over. And I've definitely come across that where it's like, I've been kind of cruising here for a couple of weeks. All right, we got to fuck, you know what I mean? Like, let's fucking pick it up. Well, hey, dude, this conversation has been fucking great. I appreciate you coming on. I know, obviously, we totally spaced on a podcast like 2 weeks ago. Like, did we miss it?
I think I was telling Dylan, I was like, yeah, we were supposed to record a podcast like a week ago. I was like, he forgot. And he's like, oh, that sucks. And I'm like, well, I forgot too. We just like a week later, we were both like, hey, weren't we supposed to? Shit.
I really appreciate it. Do you have anything you want to like promote? Do you have anything coming up that you want to like make sure people know about?
So we got we got a training app, which is essentially like our program library. We got a Discord community with it that, you know, we do form checks and help people like modify the programs that we write and that kind of stuff in there. Mm-hmm. We got like a big sale on it. We're doing a huge giveaway. We're giving away like a rack, plates, bar, supplements, ammonia, coffee, like the whole thing. Sick. From all of our sponsors. And that's running for this month. And you can check that out at calgarybarbell.programs.app if you're looking for something like that.
Sick. Anything else? Anything for you? You've got the two meets coming up and then any apparel coming anytime soon or what?
We got some stuff in the works. Probably July-ish. We're looking at launching the next line. But cool. we've always got stuff on the go, man.
Cool.
I was going to ask real quick. I actually had a question for you if you got a few more minutes.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
So one of the things that I noticed when I first started training here at this sort of space, I was always alone and like never really had much of a community because our first priority was to make this a studio for content creation. But I've since like started reaching out and trying to get more people to come train with to like build a community, because I feel like that's such a huge part of like why I started this and what makes me passionate about it. Do you have any sort of advice for like curating or building the right community within your space? Cause I feel like that's probably something you're going through right now. Hey.
Yeah, for sure. So the good thing about our spot was that it kind of already had a pretty good culture just based on the previous owner. Obviously, we revamped it and kind of rebranded and like it's our own thing now. But what I found is like I've trained at a bunch of different gyms, bro. You know what I mean? Like being at Westside Sweatshop, Doghouse, like I've trained with all these people.
Yeah.
Lots of different personalities and shit. You see people come and go. I actually had a we've got a kid coming to kind of try out to see if he can train with us like in my group this weekend. And you know, it's one of those things where Hoff was just saying, like, you know, don't ever ask anyone to do something that you wouldn't fucking do. And I think that is like the major thing, right? So it's like have people come out. And the thing is, like, people who aren't serious and people who kind of suck to be around or are lazy or whatever, like, they don't last if the three guys in the gym that are like the head honchos, the big swinging dicks, like, dude, you're the guy with the world record, you're the guy who owns the place, right? People are going to look to you for how they should act. And it's like the people who come in and kind of fall in line with that sort of thing. And obviously there's different personalities and that's great, but what Hoff said to me is like, he's like, bro, you know what's good and what isn't when it comes to training. And like, you'll see it. And people who are people who are good will stick around. People, and not necessarily like, when I say good, I don't mean like strong. I mean like, you know, good to be around, good to have in the gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, just don't accept anything that is, especially with yours, because yours is pretty privatized. It's like, don't fucking accept anything that isn't what you want. If somebody comes in and it's like, you ask them to load plates and they give you attitude, it's like, all right, well, you can fucking go not load plates somewhere else, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like you can go and do that. Or it's like, you know, with our situation, it's like, you know, a lot of people out here maybe don't know how good of a lifter Val was when she was like competing. And it's like, so I just watched that shit. It's like, how are you going to react to a female coaching you? Are you going to be a fucking asshole? If you are, you can kick rocks, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like you can get the fuck out of here. And that's sort of how I've done it. And with the kids, like we have some kids in our, you know, a lot of younger athletes. So it's culture is very important. Because, you know, a kid with a bad attitude, it's like a cancer in there with a bunch of 16-year-olds, you know, if someone has a bad attitude, it kind of spreads. And I think that powerlifting is very similar to that. So it's like, you know, if someone has a shit attitude, call them on it. And if they don't respond, because honestly, like I can tell just by, you know, the relationship we have, like if you had a bad attitude about something and we were training together and I was like, bro, like, what's up? What the fuck? Like, why are you being this way? Like you can't act like this. You would respond with like, oh shit, I might have to check myself here.
Yeah.
You know,
there's like being able to be called out on it kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like one of the most important things, because if someone's able to be called out or corrected, then they're also going to be able to do that same thing for you when you have a hair across your ass.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, because like, it's not fun to get told that you're being a little bitch boy, but like, sometimes you fucking need it, dude. Like, you know, like no, sometimes absolutely. You need that. So, I mean, like, I don't know. That would be my advice. I don't know if any of that was coherent, because I am going through the same thing here where it's like, for me, it's like I'm coming off training with the best, you know, I'll say it, like the best training group in the fucking world when it comes to Multiply. Like, fuck, dude, it's like, you know, like it doesn't get any better than that. Yeah. And that was like, you know, we're getting all these crazy loans to come out here and money and all this. And my biggest concern was like, man, like, am I going to find people to train with? Like, what, you know, like powerlifting isn't huge in New Hampshire. So I have had to kind of cultivate that.
Yeah.
And, slow and steady, dude. Don't rush.
I feel like that's kind of a cool opportunity though, too, to like build it yourself. You know what I mean? And to do things that are maybe even slightly different from what you've had before, be able to like have a hand in creating that. It's really,
cool. it's stressful, but it's also like I was never allowed to be a leader at Westside. I was never allowed to be a leader at Sweatshop. And when I was training with Dave Doghouse and stuff, it's like, I didn't even think that I would ever want to be, because it's like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'll just do whatever you tell me to bang my head against the wall. I'm going to fucking do it. Like, you're the best ever. I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm whatever you tell me.
Yeah.
So it is a little stressful, but good at the same time and exciting to be like, you know, having Val being like, well, what do you want?
Yeah.
Like, what is it? And it's like, well, these are the things that are non-negotiable. These are the things that are negotiable. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of go from there. So, dude, I have no doubt. You're such a fucking stud with the lifting. And like, obviously, if you can get in front of a camera as much as you do and speak, you know, so well, like people are going to fucking be drawn to you. And the shit bags won't last anyway, dude. Like,
fair enough. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's always cool to kind of get different people's you know, sort of takes on that kind of stuff. So I was curious, because I know, you know, obviously you'd be going through the same kind of thing yourself. So
yeah, I appreciate that, man. And it is like a we'll have to talk after I stop recording about some of it, but it has been kind of a shit show when it comes to some of the stuff, because coming from a state and region where like powerlifting is such a big deal in Ohio, and then coming out here where it's not, you kind of have to like explain things to people a little bit about how stuff works, in training groups and all that stuff. And I think we just had this meet last weekend and it was sick, and it was great, man. It was awesome. But you know, Hoff came out and the whole night crew came out. A couple of them competed. I think people seeing that is making, it has made, even in the, like just the last couple of days, has made my life a lot easier because people understand like, oh, that's what the high level guys look like. That's how they act.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, you know, cause the people out here haven't really seen me getting ready for a meet. So they don't really know maybe what I'm capable of, but it's kind of hard to deny like Hoff standing there or, you know, Kovac squatted 915 at 198. Like, you can't, you're seeing it in front of your face. Like, holy shit. So, but yeah, that's great, man. I appreciate you asking that. Cause I think it's smart for people to hear that as well. Well, shit, dude, we've gone a little over, but I like it. I appreciate the time. Do you want to give out your social media, the Calgary Barbell social media, so everybody can follow you and all that stuff?
Yeah, man. We are Calgary Barbell pretty much everywhere. YouTube, Instagram, whatever. And CalgaryBarbell.com has all of our shit on there. And my personal Instagram is Bryce_CBB.
Cool, cool. Make sure you follow those guys if you're looking for their apparel is sweet and it's like outside of the norm for powerlifting apparel. It's very cool and sort of like everything I've seen is kind of like metalcore influenced, which is fucking radical.
Trying to do stuff inspired by like what we like and I don't know, music I listen to and that kind of shit. So
fuck yeah, super cool. All right, well yeah, man, thanks again, I appreciate it. Guys, hey, make sure that you follow me. My personal page is AnthonyCW13. The trigger warning page is trigger_warning_conjugate, and then the new gym page is AnchorAthleticsNH. Keep your eyes peeled on that. We're doing a really cool event on Monday where we're going to use jump mats and lasers and test all the sprints for the athletes and all that shit. So check that out. If you need anything, reach out to me. That's all we got for today. Thanks again for listening to the TWC Stay Hated podcast. And as always, stay hated, motherfuckers.